four more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of, I don't know about you, but me and the Holy Spirit make two. So whenever I stop, God's there, amen. Like he's always there. I don't know if anyone of you ever find that. Sometimes it's like you might see him a bit far, but as soon as you just stop, as soon as you stop and just focus on him, you're like, he's so there, isn't he? And he is worthy of praise, amen. So Shelley, I am going to ask you to open in prayer this morning, if that's cool, and then we'll get into it.
Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that we're able to be here together, whether it's here in this building or, Lord, wherever everyone is, Lord. We just thank you that we can come together. And, Lord, we're just here to bless your name. Lord, we just lift you up. We honor you, Lord. We magnify you. More of you, less of us this morning. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I love that. Less of us and more of God. Amen. Let's bless him. Let's turn our eyes upon him and give him all the praise and the glory that he deserves. Yeah.
Your name is great and your heart is kind.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. If we make that a habit daily, bless the Lord, oh my soul, every single day, bless the Lord. I love it. My kids are singing that song nearly every day because Reuben was learning it at school. And I'm like, man, what a great reminder to just say, bless the Lord. There is no place for complaining, really. If you look at the Word of God and you look at what God asks us to do, He calls us to bless Him. He calls us to praise Him. He calls us to be thankful all the time, doesn't He? When I think that, how powerful to just wake up everyone and go, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And especially in a time like this when we could be complaining and getting so hopeless. And it's like, no, bless the Lord, oh my soul, because He's good. Finally, I found myself saying the other day to Mom, I said, you know what, Jesus can come back. Because I said, how much more now than ever, the world's got nothing to offer us. It's literally got nothing to offer us. Without God, there's no hope. There is literally no hope in the world at the moment. No one can see an end to what's going on. People are like, oh, next year. And it's like, there's no guarantee next year it's going to change. You know, but I was like, we got hope in God, amen. I don't lose hope because I know I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And it's where my hope lies and it's what I trust. And this song, I was singing this song last week. I thought, I've got to do this at church. Isaiah 43 tells us, he says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I'm like, we're redeemed, amen? We belong to God, yeah? The Holy One of Israel has redeemed us, and He's called us His, and He's promised we'll go through fires and waters, but they won't burn us, and they won't overcome us. He will be there with us. There's a song I want to do soon as well called There's Another in the Fire, and I'm like, man, nothing brings me to my knees more than to know that no matter what I go through, He's there with me. And so this one as well, this mentions aspects of that scripture. It's called The Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held by your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord.
I'll sing it again.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held by your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Darkest night, you are. we love you, Lord. We worship you, so, 'cause you are our God. You alone are good. You asked your Son to
give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, because you alone are good, Father God, and you alone are our God, and we your people, Lord, we have been made for your glory and for your honor, for your praise, God. So here we are, Father God, blessing you, worshiping you, giving you all the honor, all the glory, and the praise due to your name. We love you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord. God is so good. You know, if you're ready and get your juice and your bread ready for communion, and we'll get them passed out here while we're at it as well, I want to read you a scripture from 1 Corinthians 2. Paul writes this and he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Like there was God's wisdom was hidden from man and their thinking all of that time. They were unable to comprehend what God's plans and purposes were all about. He had it hidden from the futility of man's thinking and hidden from the futility of the powers of darkness as well. And it says in the next verse, it says, "None of the princes of this world knew about it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You know, God's wisdom was there purposed for our benefit, for us to walk in His glory. And it was a hidden wisdom that wasn't revealed until Calvary. And it was interesting that it says, none of the princes of this world. Who are the princes of this world? The powers of darkness. They were the ones that were governing this regime or taking control when man surrendered dominion and lost his power to operate within this sphere that God had supposedly given us dominion over. Man surrendered that. And so the devil had control. The demons were running around and running rampant. Jesus comes along, they get hold of him and they say, "We're going to crucify this guy." So the crowds get all stirred up. Jesus gets crucified. And what happens? He gets risen from the dead much to the dismay and the horror of the powers of darkness, or the princes of this world, as Corinthians calls them. And then the power of the Holy Spirit falls down. Not only did they have one Jesus to deal with when he was on the planet, all of a sudden, there's a whole regime of people now out there doing what Jesus did, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, preaching the gospel of salvation, and they couldn't control that. And it's interesting that Paul writes and says, if the princes of this world had known what was going to happen beyond the cross, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And because of that, we're able to be part of, got this, God's provision, God's blessing, and the eternal wisdom that had been hidden up till that time from mankind, from the powers of darkness, from the regimes of this world. And Jesus comes along and says, well, you do what you got to do, but I've come with a purpose, and that's to re-release the power of God into this planet. Amen. I've come to give you the capacity to walk in my love, to walk in my light, to walk in my power. And today we're so grateful and so thankful that God was able to send his son, and he did do that with a purpose to release his life in us. I think that's exciting. That's exciting. And we're celebrating that today as we come together and we take the bread and we take the cup and we recognize without the sacrifice of Christ, what would we have? What would we have? Woo! Not much at all. Not much at all. That song Kerry just sung, that, you know, God's been so good to us. All of our life he's been faithful. We've known him as Father. We've known him as friend. How great is that? How much more can we ask for than the life of God poured out that began at Calvary? Would you take the bread with me now? And remember that Jesus' sacrifice was for his glory to be revealed in us. That's what Paul wrote then. To our glory. Oh, it's so amazing that Jesus went through that, not for anything but for our benefit, to release the life of heaven into you and I. Be grateful for that today as we take this bread. Father, we are so thankful today, so grateful for your gift of your son Jesus, and that through his sacrifice, your life has been made available to us. We can now know you as Father. We can know you as friend. We can know your goodness. We can know your love. We can participate in your glory. We thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's eat the bread in Jesus' name. And then when he took the cup, he said, it's the new covenant in my blood. This seals the deal. This seals the deal. How good is that? The power of the blood of Jesus made God's life available to us, provides healing, salvation, redemption, all through his precious blood. And because of that, what Paul said, the wisdom hidden from man through the ages and hidden from the powers of darkness, all of that time was now made real through the blood of his son. And this covenant meal, this covenant shed blood, seals it for us for eternity through what Jesus did. And we're so grateful today. Let's remember Jesus' great gift to us as we drink this together. Amen. Thanks, Kerry.
Goodness of God, all my life.
goodness of God.
Running out.
the goodness of God.
Every breath I will sing
of the goodness of God. Every morning, every night I will sing of the goodness.
Can I encourage you guys, make this, it's called Goodness of God by Jen Johnson. Make it your anthem this week, if you can. It's mine at the moment.
Awesome. Well, once again, we welcome you to church here that are here and those that are on the Zoom cast this morning. And if you haven't caught it live, you'll catch up with it on podcast or down the track. But just amazing to be able to sing a song like that, singing of the goodness of God. Wow, He is so good. And just generates such incredible feelings of gratitude towards God, because He has always been faithful. He's always been good. He's always on our side. He's always a Father who loves us, cares for us, watches over us. And oh boy, how blessed we are. Amen? Amen. How blessed we are. It's so, so, so good. You know, I mentioned that Jesus came a little earlier, and I've got, I don't know, the overhead's whiz. There we are. He had a purpose when He came, when He was the sacrifice for our sins, and He gave His life for us. But you know, I want to go through that, what Jesus' goal was. But I want to start off with a bit of a background here with Paul. And Paul was, you know, obviously running around starting churches and visiting places, and he gets into Antioch. And there he found certain disciples. Now, these disciples or believers were previously not known to him, I guess, but he gets there and he starts talking to them and he says, which baptism were you baptized into? And they said, oh, John's baptism. So he must have detected there was some lacking or difference. What they believed was incomplete. There was some perception in Paul. And he's asked them that question, what baptism were you baptized with? And they said, unto John's baptism. He said, well, John truly baptized with repentance. But he spoke of one coming after, who would baptize you. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we've never heard of a Holy Spirit. And so he laid his hands on them and they were filled with Holy Spirit. And the word that he used there was really, there was no definite article, the Holy Spirit. When you speak of the Holy Spirit, you're speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit. When you use the terminology, have you received Holy Spirit, it's the empowerment. It's what God pours into you to change you. It's not the person of, you receive the person of at salvation. When you get born again, the Spirit of God comes in and the person of the Spirit of God introduces you to the Godhead and changes your life. But when you're empowered, Holy Spirit takes over. Quite incredibly different. I want to carry on now and talk about what Jesus did. He came and in Luke 4, He outlined His purposes. And in Luke 4, you'll see that on the overhead there, that He talked about the anointing that was upon Him. He said, I've come and the Spirit of God is upon me because He has anointed me. We haven't quite got that up there yet. And He anointed him to preach the gospel. All right? Let's look at these firstly and foremostly. To the poor, the good news, the gospel. Not necessarily to the poor as in poor people, but to the poor in spirit. Because people were destitute, bankrupt in those days. They were bankrupt spiritually. And He came and He said, I'm come to preach the gospel to you all, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that is still ongoing, unchanged. It's still His anointing, His purpose, and He wants that happening in this world today. He wants the gospel preached. He wants people delivered, set free. He wants people in bondages broken from their bondages. He wants people with addictions broken from addictions. He wants people that are oppressed of the devil set free in Jesus' name. That is still His total goal, aim, and purpose. Has not changed. And I love that. In the scriptures a little further on, it says that He came to destroy the works of the devil. I think it's Peter who said it, or John, in one of the minor letters further on. He says, He came to destroy the works of the devil. If you think about that, this enemy of our souls had had a field day for centuries. And he had played havoc with the lives of men right from the time that the Garden of Eden events happened and dominion was given to him. And his total hatred of the human race was to destroy humanity, or to bring humanity into a position of being away from God. Because every time he saw you and I, every time he sees us, every time he saw a human, he recognized we were made in the image of God. And so he's out to destroy. He's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy, as Jesus said. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. There's a difference. I've come to destroy the works of the enemy, which is degrading and bringing mankind down from a level I purpose for them. He came to destroy it. Now that all began, as I mentioned, at Calvary. Had they known what his purposes was, they wouldn't have crucified him. They thought they were getting rid of him. Instead, what they did was empower him to release his life into so many others that could do the same thing. Incredible. So he had to somehow get the church to turn their eyes away from that empowerment and become a little bit introverted. And for centuries, the church lost the vision, which was quite sad. But Jesus said, before he left, he said, the works that I do, you will do also. And that's ongoing. That never stopped with the apostles. It never stopped with the early church. It is still part of that plan of God where Jesus said, or the Bible says, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so if Jesus started it when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, began his earthly ministry, went through Calvary, empowered the church, the whole purpose of God hasn't changed. His goals are still the same. Set the captives free. Destroy the works of the devil. Preach the gospel. Bring good news to everyone. Set at liberty those that are bruised. And so when we come to God, yes, he's good to us. Yes, he's wonderful. Yes, he's a father. Yes, all those amazing things we sang a few moments ago are a reality. But let's not forget, it's not about what God can do for me. It's not about how much God can bless me, or how much God has got a plan for me, or God, how much God has got a future for me, or a destiny for me. It's about what he is in me and I can do for him. It's a reversal to what is mostly being taught today, that you come to Jesus and he'll meet your needs and he'll do this and do that and do the other. To what baptism have you been baptized with? Whoa, scary, scary. Paul would notice a difference. Paul walked in and we got to talk to him in some of the churches today. He'd go, what baptism were you baptized with? He would be wondering what the church was doing in this powerless state that we've got now going on across this planet. It would leave Paul bewildered. You know, Christ came, he conquered, he was raised up, seated at the Father's right hand, and we were raised up spiritually and seated with him in heavenly places. We were created in Christ, and who we are in Christ, in every facet of it, to function, not to be recipients, to function. It has a purpose in it for you and I to walk in. It's not a position or a status, but an empowerment to function. And as believers, we really need to recognize that. We need to come before God, spend time before Him in His presence at the throne of grace. We need to hear His voice. We need to seek His face, not His hands. Don't just bless me, Lord. God, I want to know You. God, I want to hear Your voice. I need You to speak to me. I need to know Your heart, not just for my life, but for this world. I need to know You, Lord, and Your passions, Your desires, who You are. We need an intimate relationship with God firstly and foremostly so that we are then able to see things through His eyes, see the world through His eyes, feel the world through His heart, see the suffering of man through the eyes of God and this life that people are living and how it must break His heart. I think we take things so lightheartedly because we haven't got God's heart and God's vision for what's going on in this planet. And I'm really, really obsessed with this fact now that if the church doesn't rise up and be who God wants it to be, we'll be like the children of Israel who went out from Egypt through the promised land and had every opportunity to go on into the promises and the fulfillment of all that God wanted for them. And they got into the wilderness and began murmuring and complaining and negative and, oh, everything's wrong, everything's bad, we got a virus happening, this is going on, oh, the money system's collapsing. And God says, you're going to die in the wilderness and I'll get a new generation to do the job. Tell you what, we are God, we've got a responsibility. Amen? Younger generation, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to everybody today. Doesn't matter where we're at, what age we're at, we need to start to pull our socks up and say, okay, God, You've made me to be who I am in Christ to fulfill a purpose. And God, I've missed it so far, but I need to know Your heart. Let's get on our knees and seek His face and seek it continuously and get a heart of God for what needs to be done around this world. Amen? It's so important, so important. Kerry sent me a thing the other day, and I haven't listened to it all, but Dan Moller just preaching on walking in love. Oh, my goodness. What a message. What a challenge. You know, you can't listen to that stuff without it tearing at your heartstrings. They'll say, well, okay, God. And I've had people say to me, oh, you know, but that's Dan Moller. That's just him. No, it should be all of us. It's all of us. It's an all-in scenario. We're all in this together, but not what the world says. We're in it for the kingdom of God, amen? We're in it for God's kingdom. Woohoo! That is so good. That is absolutely so good. And if we spend that time before the throne of grace and allow Him to reveal His glory in, through, and to us, it'll be nothing of self. It'll be all of Him. It'll be what He wants. It'll be His heart. It'll be His life. It'll be poured out in us. You know, when He came, when the Lord Jesus came, He knew no sin, but He was made to be sin at Calvary. The sins of the whole world were taken on by Him at Calvary there. He paid the penalty for every sin on this planet. In fact, it was horrific in the eyes of the Father. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Father could not look at the Son at that time because of the sin of the whole world being put upon Him. And He had to turn His back, and Jesus cried, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And it became dark. You know, God turns His face off this planet, it's going to get dark. Literally and spiritually, but literally at that time. And Jesus was aware of the fact that there was a severing of relationship because sin that had been put on Him. He was made to be sin even though He knew no sin. Why? So that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. You think about that. That is so incredibly miraculous. A guy who never sinned took my sin, said, I'll tell you what, Ken, I'll take your sin and I'll give you my righteousness. What a deal. What a deal. Whew. And I didn't ask for it. He just did it. And then he comes and he says, you believe in me, surrender to me, and we'll make it fully effective, and you can live for me, and I'll let my glory shine through you. Wow, I don't think I've fulfilled my part of the bargain fully yet. I'm still challenged by that. And it's an ongoing challenge. But you know, when he came and he was made to be sin, we were made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ. But sometimes people read that in the Word, and because it hasn't been an experience, because they've never spent time in the Word or before the throne of grace, getting God's insight, heart, and revelation on the situation, they go, I believe that. Oh, I believe God made me righteous. Yeah. You know, and it's almost like a matter-of-fact scenario, not a real heartfelt revelation of who we are in Christ, a new creature, born of the Spirit, seated in heavenly places. When those things become a revealed revelation to you by the Spirit of God, they are more real to you than the chairs you're sitting on or the floor I'm standing on. It's foundational to who we are in Christ and our beliefs in the truth of the Word of God. But if people believe them just with some sort of head knowledge, oh, yeah, I believe that, and take it as a bit of a matter-of-fact thing, you lose the grace that empowers you to walk in those truths. That's frightening. That is frightening. And we need to repent of that. We need to repent of our lethargy and our apathy. We need to come before God and say, Lord, I've been saved, but I didn't realize the depth of what I can walk in if I took everything in your word as truth and began to apply it in my life and ask you to bring about the capacity for me to walk in that and empower me to do it. It would be so different. God, I repent. I've been so slack. We need to change. We do. It's a change of heart. It's a change of understanding. It's a change of responsibility. Man. You know, when God releases His power, it's for a purpose. If we miss the purpose, not only do we miss out, but so do so many others that we could have influenced. It snowballs. But we have a responsibility before Almighty God to embrace the truth of the Word. Come before God with a heart's cry for that to be a realistic and functional part of our lives. God, change my heart. I surrender and I re-give it to you. I come back. Just believing without searching, seeking and receiving is pretty well powerless and pitiful. It nullifies us. And even demons, the Bible tells us, demons believe and tremble at the awesomeness and the power of God. Hey, can you imagine that? These spirit beings know who God is and they tremble at His voice and they fear Him. They are just petrified of what, because they know what He can do. They know His infinite power. And we turn around and we go, yeah, she's cool. Oh, gee, that was a great meeting. Oh, that was good. Walk out. And we live our lives without a care. And I really, really feel that it's a time for the church to have a rethink. We need to push the reset button. Let's go back to Calvary. Let's go back to the Word. Let's go back to God's heart, God's plans, God's purposes. Rethink, reset, and say, okay, God, we're in this with you. Let's move on and become effective for your kingdom. Amen? Let's really take this seriously. And for Jesus to fulfill what He intended to do when He was anointed to do it and to destroy the works of the devil, which He, when you look at it, He set it in place at Calvary. He did all of that. He restored the dominion and authority back to the human race. But if we picked it up, He needs you and I to see that fully fulfilled. He needs the church to continue to outwork the things that He wanted outworked. We really do need to know and understand what our role is in God's heart for the kingdom. We've got to recognize we've got an enemy. There's teachings in the world today, you know, oh, the devil's just a myth, you know, he's not real. Tell you what, he's real. He's the enemy of our souls. He's out there to destroy us. He's out there to kill us. And if he attacks us, the Bible tells us to resist the devil. And some people don't recognize that. They think it says assist the devil. No, it's resist the devil. They get it wrong. And they get all negative and they get all down in the dumps and they start to get anxious and they start to get fearful and they start to get worried. You know, that nullifies faith. You're giving the devil ground. You're giving him the capacity to keep working, to keep functioning where he wants to bring us down. What we need to learn and understand is the more we resist him, the more he'll flee. And it gets to the point, I don't know if you've ever had an experience in your life, but if the devil tries to trip you up in some way or other, and we do fail, he thinks he's got you, and he finds a weakness, and he'll work on that, and he'll play on that. But the more we resist him, the more we fight him, the more we say, in Jesus' name, no way. In Jesus' name, no. I've learned my lesson. I'll never do that again. No way, Satan. You leave in Jesus' name. I'm not listening to your lies. I'm not falling for your temptations. And I'm not getting caught up in your deceits and webs and stuff. He'll flee. And you know that temptation eventually will, you've overcome. This is what it is to be an overcomer. To walk in an overcoming life because we've taken a stand that we're going to resist him regardless. We're going to fight it off regardless. We're not going to allow him to have the victory in any way, shape, or form in our lives. We overcome in that realm, and what he does, he looks for another weakness. And then he tries to attack there, and he tries to attack somewhere else. And so he's continually looking for opportunities. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a chance. And give him a place to get to. Now, we're not on guard so much all the time, and we do fail. But the thing is our resistance up? Is our fight a fight of faith? Are we ready to bring him down to nothing and allow the power of God and the glory of God to be revealed in us like it was written in Corinthians there? Oh, it's so exciting. It's exciting. He needs you and I. He needs every believer to be empowered into action to see the work that the Lord Jesus began being fulfilled. The devil's still having a field day in the lives of so many men and women. But, you know, with a determined you and I, we can start to change that around. We can start to take effect by not giving him any place or ground in our lives, and then we can start to take ground in the lives of others where we're an influence to them. You know, God promised that he would restore so much, the lost years, the wasted years, the desolate times, and pour out his spirit on all flesh. We're going through wasted years at the moment. We're going through desolate times. We're going through times where moth and rust decay and the cankerworm's taking everything and the money's going and everything's failing. But you know, if we trust in God, there's a restoration promised. There really is. And the Spirit of God will be poured out. Following every restoration, there's been an outpouring of God's Spirit. It's happened over and over and over, not just in Acts. But every time there has been a revelation of God and people have repented, the Spirit has fallen. There have been revivals that have happened through the centuries with people like Finney and Wesley and others that got out there and stood up for God, and the Spirit of God came. Why? Desolate times, people started to seek God. Desperate times caused people to get on their knees. And today, if this world needs anything, it's falling on their knees. Not asking a government to fix the problems and not expecting other men to do it. The only way is to turn to God, amen? The only way is to turn to God. Any form of restoration, empowering, demands our full surrender to God and dying to self. We need to come back both to him and to his word. And if ever there was a time when the Word of God is challenged for its authority and authenticity, it's today. Men are saying, oh, it's out of date. This is the 21st century. You know, the Bible's not relevant anymore, and we can change the rules if we want to. No. God says, I'm the Lord God. I change not. I'm the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not altering, flinching, or moving one iota from His Word, from the principles in it, and from what He's laid down. We move from that. Guess who moved? Not Him. Not Him. It's us. And so we've got to come back to the Word in its entire authority. And even in the church today, we've even got a cheap gospel. Give your life to Jesus. He'll meet your needs. He'll bless you. He'll sort your life out. Your problems will be gone. People are getting disillusioned with that. That's not happening. It was never an empowering gospel. It doesn't give people the capacity to become an army of God to bring about a capacity in their lives to destroy the works of the devil. It's sad. It really is quite sad. Paul comes into those places today. What baptism have you been baptized with? I didn't write that in the Gospels. I didn't write that in the Epistles. That's not there. You know, there would really be a confused look on his face. And I'm convinced of that. It's a total life of dying to self, taking up our cross daily, being fully persuaded. And I think we've got the notes there. If we go right on virtue, the second last one, Anthony, I'm sorry, we've missed a lot of the notes, I think. It's been there and there and there. Keep going. We'll go back to that one. Just go back. 2 Peter 1. He wrote this letter to the church then. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. Amen? And Jesus our Lord. This is seeking His face. This is coming before Him. As His divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Whew. Through the knowledge of Him. Getting to know Him is so paramount and important, as He's saying here. And He has called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of His divine nature. Oh Lord, oh Lord, that's God in us, that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Partakers of the divine nature, because we've escaped the corruption is in the world through lust and misguided passion. We have become a partaker of the nature of God through getting to know Him. And that is not, Lord, bless me, Lord, you know. No, it is a surrender. It is a giving over to Him fully. Let's move on to the next slide, because this is important. That's a challenge we're facing. That's an amazing challenge, and are we ready for it? Will I pay the price? What baptism have I been baptized with? Do I really need to think my salvation criteria? Am I looking for it just because it's a nice place to be in the church and God's going to bless me? Or am I here because I want God to empower me to be effective for His kingdom? What a challenge. Let's move on to the next slide. Was that it? Aha. Uh-huh. If Jesus' goals were to destroy the works of the devil, I want you to all think about this seriously. Think about this seriously. Empowering by God in us will demand a dying to self, a daily taking up of our cross. That's what Paul said, I die daily. We don't. We get up daily and we're back into our, you know, routine of life. But Paul said, I surrender afresh. I let my life be His life. Wow. I'm fully persuaded. Totally convinced. I'm fully surrendered. I'm walking in love. Next slide. I'm learning who I am in Christ and why I am who I am in Christ. I'm recognizing that the word is true. And I'm knowing now that I am fully complete in Him. I'm made a partaker of His divine nature. I've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. Therefore, with an E, allowing our lives to radiate who Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Amen? That is so important. Next slide. That's a challenge we have to ask ourselves constantly. A complete rethink, a reset. Are we ready for it? Are we prepared to pay the price? Are we willing to say to God, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend time in your presence. I'm going to learn your heart. I'm going to hear your voice. I need, Lord God, to know you. That because it's only through knowing you, through the knowledge of God, that I can be a partaker of the divine nature and receive all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowing you. It's a challenging future. But if we take up this challenge to surrender fully to Him, the future is not so much of a challenge. It's an exciting walk with God. And it's an exciting life to move out there and say, okay, God, I'm in it with you. You're in it with me. We're doing this together. And in Jesus' name, I'm out there to help you to destroy the works of the devil in the lives of the men and women I come across. I'll be your hand extended. I'll be your life being imparted to others. What you've given me, I will pass on. What life you have given me to operate, function, and walk in, I will take up and be who you want me to be in this planet, because you've made me to be it for the purposes of your kingdom. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Kerry, could you come back and do the first song that we did earlier today? I love you, Lord. And whatever it was, the one you said, Jay Rubin sings a lot.
I'll bless the Lord to help you.
Yeah. We're going to sing again, but before we do, can we pray? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the challenge of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your life was poured out for us so that we could be partakers of your life, that we could be recipients of all that you made available to us, that it's not just nice words written in Scripture for us to look at and think, yeah, how wonderful, but to be actively participating in what you want for this world. And God, I ask that this challenge that you've placed before us will be the heart and soul of every believer to say, Lord God, I'll take it up. I'll move with you. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll live my life that you've made me to be, because you have a purpose and an intent for me to fulfill what Jesus began, to continue on to do the works that he did and greater works, to destroy the works of the devil in the lives of my friends, in the lives of my family, in the lives of those around me, to ensure the devil has no ground in my life. The Lord God, I will stand firm. I will resist the devil at every opportunity, and he will flee. I'll bring him to subjection to the name of Jesus at every chance I get. I'll use the authority you have given me and stand firm for your glory and allow your life to radiate through me at every opportunity. Father, that's my heart today. That's my cry. And I know that that's what you would have for everyone in your church to do and to be. And so, Lord, I pray today that every person who's heard this will be challenged by it and been given a greater opportunity to serve you, to be empowered to function for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Join together with me and we sing this last song that we sang earlier and worship God.
Worship His holy name.
In Ephesians that it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace unto the hearers. And it's the first scripture I ever memorized because it was in the back of our toilet door growing up. It was on a bookmark. And this week it came up in a sermon I was listening to, that corrupt communication is things that just don't agree with the word of God. And I just look at this and go, you know what, let's every morning wake up and go, God, I bless you, I worship you, I exalt you, I declare your goodness, and I will line my mouth up with your word and see your kingdom come into my life and your will be done in that around me, yeah? So, Father God, we just thank you so much for your goodness, God. We bless you. And we thank you, Father, for your word today, Lord God. I thank you that your word is alive, it's living, it's powerful, and it's active. And I believe wholeheartedly that it has gone into hearts that are good soil this morning, Lord God. We receive that word. We grab a hold of it, we implant it into our hearts, and we will not let it get stolen. We will meditate on it, and we will act upon it, Lord God, that it will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold in our life, Lord God, for your kingdom and for your purposes. Father, we ask seriously, wholeheartedly, your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, Lord God. We bless you and we thank you, Father God, for this church family. We just uplift everyone who calls this church their home, Lord God, that they just sense and grow in the grace and the knowledge of you this week, Father God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us, guys, on Zoom. Bless you. We'll end the call there, but join in with us next week. Oh, unless you want to stay for a cuppa, we'll put the laptop out in the foyer. Oh, that's funny. That's awesome. Bless you, guys. Just a heads up as well, I know there's not a lot of people, but I'm like, let's just keep, anyone you do know in the church, Luke, obviously you haven't met people yet, but just uphold people in prayer and stay connected wherever possible. I'm aware bit by bit we're probably time's going, so we'll try work on something. But